Welcome to the Gerald Journal podcast. My name is Holly Hensley. I'm the librarian at Gerald High School, and I facilitate this podcast. But the real stars are our hosts, Christine Collins and Stephen York, and our producer, Kessler Mixon. All three are smart and outgoing students here at Gerald High School, and they are very excited to bring this podcast to you. We have big plans to interview interesting characters and paint a colorful picture of life here in Gerald, Texas. Gerald's a small town located about an hour north of Austin, and we hope you tune in to the Gerald Journal podcast to hear what's happening in this up-and-coming community.
Okay, so welcome to the second edition of the Gerald podcast. I suppose the main host, Stephen York, and joining me again is the very lovely Christine Collins and our editor behind the scenes man, Kessler Mixons.
Yellow.
And then our special guest today, Miss Priscilla King, and her adopted, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Lizzie Fuller.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. And how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you. Fine.
Good. Okay.
All right. That's good.
So if you guys don't already know, Miss King is the co-author of Images of America, Gerald. She wrote the history of Gerald, and she wrote it all in a picture book. So if you guys haven't checked it out, make sure you go see that. She's also, I would call, a pioneer of this town because she knows so many people. She knows just the development of everything that has gone on through the years. And she has fostered nearly over 100 kids. Miss Priscilla, can you tell us about yourself?
Oh, sure. And first of all, let me say thank you for asking me. There's nothing better than talking about yourself, right?
So yeah, that's true.
I appreciate that, and I really appreciate the fact that y'all are doing this, or this will prepare you for a lot of things in your life to come. My husband and I moved to Gerald in 1975, which was probably just a year or two before y'all were born.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a little bit.
And we had a farm that was about 5 miles south of Gerald. We hadn't been here too long when I decided that I wanted to build a school. So we built a school that was a child development facility. I was licensed for 97 children, 0 to 4. And since I was the only program in the area, a lot of the people from Gerald had their kids there. So that's how I ended up learning to know so many mm-hmm. of the people, because in the facility, you not only learn to know the parents, but the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, right. That kind of thing.
Right.
So that's how I ended. That's how I ended up here, and then I did that. I did that school for almost 25 years, but in the process, we also decided to become foster parents, and so that's where that started.
So how many kids did you guys end up fostering?
We ended up fostering close to 100 children. That was over a period of about 20 years.
Wow.
And we adopted five. Now, one of my daughters that we adopted is here with me, Elizabeth, and she was the second one. So we adopted two children, and we thought that was the end of our adoption. But then after we started doing fostering, we had another whole family, so we adopted three more girls. So we ended up with a total of five.
And Ms. Fuller, how was growing up for you?
Oh, it was just normal. We were out in the country, we had the farm, and we just had a wonderful life, really. I mean, beside the little bitter sibling squabbles, but yeah, I mean, it was good.
I would like to just to say something, Christine, because I'm such an advocate for kids. All of the kids that come through foster care, mm-hmm. they all are kids of trauma, because they're not taken away unless it's a really severe situation. Mm-hmm. And so those kids are a little bit different just because of their life experiences. And a lot of times it's things like, well, Elizabeth had, as growing up, she had an auditory processing problem. So when parents don't understand those kinds of things, that's when things get out of line and mm-hmm. abuse happens sometime. So we learned over the years, we've had just every possible situation that you can think of. We took the really difficult kids because I just felt like they all needed a chance to have some normalization in their life.
Right.
And so therefore we ended up learning to have a lot of patience, I guess, and also to just know that every child doesn't fit into one little round or square hole, you know, so.
Right, and was it tough for you to see what the kids had gone through when you were taking them in?
Was it hard?
Yes.
Oh, sure, and I think probably, I never imagined that kind of stuff, if you will, mm-hmm. was going on in our society. We had a variety of children from trauma. We had physically abused children. That would be even to the point of having, broken bones, concussions, cigarette burns. We had sexually abused children that had been sexually abused by maybe more than one perpetrator, emotionally abused kids, and just neglected kids. And which one of those would y'all guess would be the hardest to deal with?
Neglected.
You're right. Neglected. You're absolutely right. Because those children don't have kind of a sense of anything that's appropriate, you know? And I'm surprised that y'all picked up on that. I think a lot of people think that the more physically abused children are harder to handle, but you are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. The neglected children are extremely tough to work with and to help them have a sense of normalization.
Mm-hmm. And you said your facility was for kids 0 to 4 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So did you like watch them grow up and see like the adults that they've become?
Oh my goodness. I said that my husband and I should have some kind of stock in places that provide wedding presents because we get invited for graduations, of course, high school graduation, college graduation, weddings, and then babies, you know, of all of. So yes, it's been really fun to follow a lot of them, and expensive.
Always.
On a lighter note, so you said that you had a total of 5 adopted children.
That's right.
Were all of them girls?
No. I have one son.
Oh, poor boy.
He was the first one, so that's not too bad.
So it was 4 girls, 1 boy. Mm-hmm. Let me guess, the boy was the one getting picked on by all of the girls.
Well, how it was just Elizabeth and my oldest son, Chris.
Right.
So they were already grown almost when mm-hmm. we adopted the other 3.
So
but believe me, those 2 could have enough problems, just the 2 of them. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I said I never could leave them alone because I didn't know if they would be there when I got back home.
Yeah.
Oh, so I said they prepared me for fostering.
Yeah.
Now, Miss Priscilla, obviously, you know everyone in Gerald.
Well, that's a used to, Stephen.
Used to.
That's
it's growing.
Right. Yeah, that's
it
a
is
used
growing.
To.
Uh-huh. Heck, you even knew my parents or my grandparents even before you came here back around the Hutto area. So one thing I've always kind of like wondered is obviously I used to go to church with you guys.
Right.
I've been trying to go more, but busy with work and such. Where did you actually grow up?
I grew up in Giddings, which is a little town between Austin and Houston on 290, and went to Giddings High School, and that's where I knew your grandparents. So it was when I grew up. Do you have any of you seen the TV show Happy Days?
Yes.
You know, with Fonzie and all of that. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that my growing up was just like Happy Days. I mean, we had a malt shop. We had a guy that had a motorcycle. It was all about what kind of car you could drive. This was in the 50s. I know mm-hmm. that sounds like before cockroaches, right?
But anyway. No, I listen to more music back then than I do now.
Do you?
So.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I like that. But anyway, it was just really a very innocent kind of growing up back then. And I think that growing up today is a lot harder. Mm. I do. I think it's just a very different world. But it was a lot of fun. And so after that, then I went to college and then ended up working at various jobs. I worked at the University of Texas for a while in their foreign language department, and I actually typed an Arabic textbook, if you will.
So you speak Arabic?
No, I don't speak Arabic. Okay. What it was the English transliteration of Arabic for students that were learning it. So the only thing I know in Arabic is ahlan wa sahlan, and that means kind of hello and how are you or whatever. Oh, okay. So anyway.
So kind of going back on the drill kind of changing, and especially in these recent years getting a lot larger, and you've been in Jarrell for quite a while.
Yes.
How have you seen it change over the years, like major changes?
Let me address something, Stephen, and that is there are several things that have changed Jarrell. One was the tornado. And when I Googled Jarrell over the years, the only thing that came up was about the big tornado. And I knew that there had to be a lot more to the history than just that.
Yeah.
And so that's what prompted me to write my book. And of course, writing the book was fun because then I got to interview a lot of the people, the ones that you're talking about. And the way I learned to know people was just to be involved in church, in school. I was on the school board for a good number of years. And then of course, through my child care facility. It was a little town. It was very quiet. People that were on the interstate didn't know we were here unless there was unless they needed a stop for gas or a Coke, I guess. And it was very, very quiet. But then of course now we're changing a lot. We're changing in size. All of the new homes that are coming here becoming a bedroom community for Austin or Round Rock suburb. So how do I feel about the change?
Yes.
I think there's two ways you can feel. You can either be happy and move on and accept it and love the people that have come here, or be a grump about it, So it's just, what I find is I just continue to meet new and exciting people that have moved here and live there in Sonterra. I have a big problem with people that have been here for a long time that talk about this side of the highway versus that side of the highway. It's not like that.
Right.
We're all one community. And if we go over there and meet people personally, then you find that there's a lot of resources and wonderful people that can add a lot to our community.
And just to plug in your book again, Images of America, Jarrell, if you do pick this up inside the library, it has a nice little note inside here, I assume written by Priscilla King herself. It says, "To the students of Jarrell Independent School District, it is our hope this look will provide a helping hand for embracing history. Happy reading, Mary H. Hodge and Priscilla S. King."
There you go.
And you co-wrote the book with Miss Hodge?
I did. Now, Miss Hodge was, she lived here when she was a girl, and she had most of the old pictures, so I wouldn't have had access to those. But she didn't want to write the text of the book, so her contribution was introducing me to people, providing the pictures, giving me some of the backstories, and then my job was to put it in the form of a book.
There's a lot of pictures in this book.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I was very surprised, and all of those are genuine pictures, correct? Like taken back during.
Yeah, there are a couple that I took that I didn't have an old picture of, like this the Speedway. I don't know. Remember the Speedway was that was a watering hole here for a lot of years for people. Jarrell was a community that had alcohol when most of the communities around here didn't. So I have a lot of funny stories about that. But but then there was also Donix Hardware, and it's funny because they loaned me one of their pictures of the old hardware store. Just a couple of months after my book came out, the hardware store burned.
Oh.
And that, so this was the only picture, because their picture burned in the fire. So now they ask me for a copy of the old picture. So there's a lot of stories connected. And some of the buildings have already been destroyed since the book. So
wow,
interesting.
Really?
And within writing the book, I saw there was a lot of courtesy that you guys gave to people. Mm-hmm. So you talked to a lot of people, I assume, here in Jarrell.
That's correct. That they either provided us a picture or gave us a little interview, you know, and told, because obviously I couldn't have known
exactly
all of that information without interviewing some of the old timers.
So really this book is a book made by the community, kind of for the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. As far
here.
As the amount of money I've made on it, I think probably we could say that it's probably about $4.50. I'm serious, because we just decided that it was a book that we were just going to do out of love, not something that was a moneymaker.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's really kind. That's, as the kids say nowadays, God, I feel old just saying that.
What?
But it's just incredible that,
thank you.
You're that kind-hearted. Like,
oh, my goodness, thank you.
I've known you for probably a good majority of my life, and it still surprises me how just nice you are.
Well, thank you, my goodness. You should have to talk to my kids on a personal basis. see how nice I am.
She is very sweet.
It really is a genuine nice, because I remember the first day I met you was when I first came here to Jarrell.
Yes.
And you were one of the first adults that I had ever spoken to, and you were just so nice to me, and you asked me so many questions, and it was just that genuine feel you could tell off somebody, mm-hmm. like what is genuine and what is just being nice.
Thank you, Christine, that warms my heart. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
I actually personally met you through your daughter here,
right?
Because I'm friends with her son,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, hey, it's Ian's grandma. And then I was like, how's it going? And it was surprising how nice you were from the first time, because you're like, everybody's my child.
Oh,
and it's like, oh.
I remember your junior high graduation. And mm-hmm. I think you had really interesting hair then, as best I remember.
So the thing was I had long hair, and everybody wanted it out of my face, and so a few of the girls there were like, you know what, we're going to braid his hair in like the most complicated way possible.
Oh, is that how that came about?
And that's how it was the most
when you were very identifiable.
Yes.
Always stand out in the crowd.
That's right.
So, kind of going back a little bit on to the foster care, obviously you mm-hmm. adopted 5 children,
right.
I believe. You still fostered near to 100 or even over 100 possibly. I imagine that watching some of them go on with their lives is a little bit hard,
mm-hmm.
but you said you still kind of keep in contact with
some of them. A lot of them are ready for Children's Protective Services to be out of their lives, of course, you know,
right.
so they're ready just to, you know, I should say that the goal of fostering is for the children to go back home, you know. And now they're actually placing more foster children with family members than in my day. But yes, but I've seen my foster kids go on to really do wonderful things. And did I cry when they left? Yes. Did I cry? I cried a lot, but that's okay, you know, because that's one of the things that indicated to them how much we cared.
It's happy tears.
It is. It's tears. I'll miss you, but, you know, we're happy that you're going to be where you need to be, either with family or moving on. I've had children that just were like 17, and so they would graduate from high school and go on with whatever their life was. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, going on, so the co-author, Miss Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you very much. Memory leaves mm-hmm. me nowadays.
That's okay.
Do you still stay in contact with
yes.
her today?
Yes. In fact, it was funny because I almost called her just this last week. It's been a while since I talked to her. She lives in Salado.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So, but originally, she lived here when there were gravel streets in Jarrell, when they just started their water system. Do y'all remember the little old water tower across
yes.
the street?
Yes, I actually have a friend. I think it's either his father or his grandfather owns the land with that tower, and so he basically owns the tower.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the Clausens.
Yes.
But that's not who started it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually some of a family that started that as a business, and that was the first time that Jarrell had running water when they, you know, when they got that. That's going. The story's in my book.
Mm-hmm. There's some pretty interesting facts about how Jarrell became, especially from Cornhill.
Yes.
I read about how Cornhill got its name, and I thought that was so interesting.
Right. And you know, now in their new subdivision, there's a street named Cornhill. Mm-hmm. Actually, my daughter lives
mm-hmm. right down
just
there.
Down that street. Mm-hmm. And there's also a couple of streets over by the elementary school that I convinced the developers to name for families that had been here in Jarrell. One is, you'll see, is Judge King, and you notice that my last name is King. Mm-hmm. I didn't know until I wrote the book that my husband's great-great-uncle was John King, who started this town.
Mm-hmm.
And I had
really?
No clue. I didn't know that until we did the research. I thought that was kind of ironic.
And it seems that this town got its name from Orlando D. Jarrell?
That's correct. He owned this property up here, and Cornhill was south of us.
Mm.
So the railroad wanted to put a railroad from Bartlett to Jarrell so that they could send grain and that sort of thing back to Bartlett, because that was where the big tracks were to take it up north. And the people in Cornhill didn't want the railroad to go through their town. They thought it was going to be loud and, you know, smoky and all of those things. And so O.D. Jarrell, who lived here, who had this area, he said, put it through my land, I'll do it. And he was sort of an entrepreneur and, mm-hmm. you know, could look ahead. And so that's what happened. Then he subdivided all of this area. And if you want to see the first subdivision plot, it's at the city hall. You can see it. It's framed there, and there's a picture in there as well. And so he started selling land up here. And first thing you know, Cornhill moved up here because everything was around the railroad.
Great.
And they rolled some of the old houses up here with steam tractors and big logs. They would put the logs under the houses and roll it a little bit and take the one out of the back and put it in the front.
Mm.
And but I don't think we have any houses now. They just destroyed the last one that I think came from Cornhill that I know of.
Oh, wow.
I know some of the churches, like the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church, they use some of the old wooding to, like,
yes,
rebuild the new church.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Our Methodist Church moved here. The building moved here, and then in 1925, there was a storm, and it blew it down, but they used a lot of the timbers in the church that's there now, so it actually came from the original Cornhill.
Can you tell us about the treasure hunt back in 1965?
Treasure hunt.
Yeah, so here it says, treasure hunt back in 1965 for a mine that holds stacks of gold bars.
Oh, okay, but that...
I was a little bit interested.
Yeah, but
this.
It can't be 1965. That has to be another date. We'll look at it and see.
Yeah.
Yes, there was mention of a gold mine that was somewhere close to... a silver mine, I mean, mm-hmm. that's close to Jarrell. And... there's a picture in the book that's really interesting. There was actually a mine here. A lot of people, I think, invested in it, and I don't think it ever came to much of anything. But, of course, there was a lot of hype mm-hmm. about it and all kinds of rumors and whatever. But the picture is in there, and it was given to me by my next-door neighbor. And there was some question about an Indian that had said that he had been in the mine and had seen all kinds of silver and all of that sort of thing. And to my mind, there is a person in that picture that looks to me like would be a Native American that has a hat that has a feather in it. But, you know, whether that's all rumor, that's one of the maybe myth kind of things, yeah. But who knows? But it's fun to talk about. Oh, yeah. And Bonnie and Clyde. You have to know that Bonnie and Clyde came through Gerald.
Oh,
remember
really?
About all their little episodes, right?
Yeah.
So we were apparently on the map for them, and the story goes that a young man who is not alive now, a teenager, was on the sidewalk, and Bonnie and Clyde rolled up and gave him some money and told him to go in and buy hamburgers at a little joint that was here. Mm-hmm. And so he did, but when he brought the hamburgers back, he noticed that the back seat of the car was full of guns. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he identified Bonnie and Clyde. So that's the kind of fun stuff that I wanted to find out.
Yeah,
you know?
They came by to get some hamburgers.
That's right. You know, not a big story, but still kind of fun, you know.
Yeah, definitely didn't know that Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Oh, goodness.
So as we come to a close on this interview, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done.
Oh, yes. Goodness.
Not just like for coming and talking to us, but like for everybody that you've affected personally in your life just by talking to them one-on-one. Because I know Stephen and Kessler and myself can say that you are a genuine, nice person who just deserves everything you've put back into Joe.
Thank you so much. But let me say, every time you make a connection, that's not just a connection for me. That's something that the other person can give me as well. I give to them and they give to me. And it, you know, if your heart is just open and you like to be around people, your life is just full. Mm-hmm. Life is full. Thank you for having me.
It was great having you again here. You know what? I'm going to,
not very rare, but I'm going to give you a hug here.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen.
Oh, no problem.
And again, just thanks once again for coming. You're an incredible person to know.
Oh, my goodness. I think I'll just take that home.